This one death will change everything. Before, the leaders of the Roman Empire are the definition of power, ruthless and bloodthirsty, seeking to keep their power. They will destroy the innocence of thousands of male babies by having them killed. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine paying such a high price just to stay in power? I can't. The emperors of the Roman Empire, from England to Africa, Syria to Spain, so large that one in four people lived and died under Roman law, were afraid of losing their power. And they would do whatever was necessary in order to keep it, which meant that the empire was ruled by brutality, assassination, force, war, incest, madness, murder, terror, greed, envy, and revenge. The PBS special, The Roman Empire in the First Century, described life like this. For wealthy Romans, life was good. They lived in beautiful houses, often on the hills outside Rome, away from the noise and the smell. They enjoyed an extravagant lifestyle with luxurious furnishings, surrounded by servants and slaves to cater to their every desire. Many would hold exclusive dinner parties and serve their guests the exotic dishes of the day. Poorer Romans, however, could only dream of such a life. Sweating it out in the city, they lived in shabby, squalid houses that could collapse or burn at any moment. If times were hard, they might abandon newborn babies to the streets, hoping that someone else would take them in as a servant or a slave. Poor in wealth, but strong in numbers, they were the Roman mob, who relaxed in front of the popular entertainment of the time. Chariot races between opposing teams, or gladiators fighting for their life, fame, and fortune. Now, the Roman Empire used many things to prevent the people from rising up, one of which was religion. From the Latin religio, which translates to something that binds. The Romans saw religion as a force to bind families together, to their emperor and to their gods. They knew that religion played a central role in the lives of the Romans, and the rulers used this to their advantage. The object of Roman worship was to gain the blessing of the gods, and in so doing, gain prosperity for themselves, their families, and their communities. Like prosperity preachers of today, two of whom you probably listen to on television. These Roman gods did not demand moral behavior. It was like cult worship, with perfection needed in religious observance and rituals. Maybe you had a statue or relief in stone or bronze. Or maybe you had an altar or a temple at which you worshiped. If disaster struck, it was because someone hadn't spoken the words sincerely enough, or they hadn't burned enough incense, or sacrificed correctly in the ritual. The Roman emperors were also smart enough to realize that allowing other religions would bring prosperity and trade to the empire. And so communities of Jews existed in cities throughout the Roman Empire for centuries. Then this one death happened. This one death occurred during the time of the Jewish Passover, the story of the Exodus, when the Jewish people, Jesus' people, came together to celebrate and commemorate their freedom from slavery in ancient Egypt. When the Jewish people celebrate a deliverance given to them by the hand of God. Melinda Quivick, a Lutheran preacher, writes, "The irony is that the popular and dangerous rabbi who preaches freedom will be killed when the people come together to Jerusalem to to celebrate their freedom from slavery in Egypt. Talk about irony. What was it about this rabbi that was such a threat to the power of the Roman Empire? What did he bring, this humble and poor man, that the powerful Caiaphas, the great high priest, and Pilate, the governor of Judea, would conspire to torture and hang him on a cross, crucifying him as a common criminal outside Jerusalem's walls? After, the son of a carpenter and a young girl named Mary of the kingdom of God, such will be the definition of power, compassion, and sacrifice. For he will die on a cross, his side pierced, wearing a crown of thorns, giving up his power as the Son of God, offering hope to all by dying on a wooden cross. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine this one man paying such a high price to give you and me hope? I can't, and yet, maybe that was it. Maybe this one man's sacrificial message of eternal life and hope was so powerful it could conquer brutality, force, war, murder, terror, greed, envy, and revenge. I wonder if Caiaphas and Pilate knew that if people came to see the way of Jesus as preferable to the Roman ways of control and power, that the people would no longer be afraid. Did they realize that missionaries like Paul or Peter or James the Just would ride and sail across the Roman Empire from Syria to Spain, England to Africa, ushering in our own current apostolic age? Richard Swanson says, "Empire is not seeking simply to crucify one man, whether gentle or troublesome. Rome is seeking to demonstrate that though it may take a lifetime, it will catch and kill anyone who stirs Jewish hope." The Roman system of domination was morally bankrupt and would eventually be defeated. And this one man's death and resurrection will be seen as a new way. Dying to the old way of the illusion of power and control at any cost, and being reborn to a new way of being, born in the depth of God's love for us, the Roman Empire didn't stand a chance. In laying down his life, in the words of Marcus Borg, Jesus denied the temple's claim to have a monopoly on forgiveness and access to God. God in Jesus has already provided the sacrifice, and thus has taken care of whatever you think separates you from God. So I want to invite you, as we begin the walk of the way of this one man during Holy Week, beginning with today's procession of palms that calls to mind this one man's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, to the Habara meal on Thursday night that brings the taste and foods of the Last Supper and the foot washing of the disciples' feet to our own. Join us as we remember the powerful and heartbreaking walk and death in our Stations of the Cross with readings and chants on Friday at both noon and 7 p.m. Come with us as we relive the tradition of an Easter vigil this Saturday night at 7 with fire, word, water, and communion, and then on to a resurrection Sunday of this one man on Easter. God became incarnate in this one man so that you and I might find hope in the midst of our crazy, scary world. And we all have before and after stories. We've all chosen the wrong fork in the road or made choices we've come to regret. And though I don't want to carry them, I still carry burdens of the past around with me like luggage. But I'll tell you this, we don't have to be afraid of the past any longer. God loves us so deeply that God will come and find us no matter where we are or what we've done or even what we're doing right in this moment. God sent God's only Son to bring us back safe and sound. God sent this one man to bring hope and the promise of eternal life back to us. And if you let him, this one death will change everything. And may God's people say, Amen. Amen.